All right, we're trying again.
Welcome back.
No, you're good. You can stay. Okay. I'm just waiting for Marcella now. And okay. Ha. Huh. Okay, now that I'm discombobulated, we're all set and we can get going. Okay, so this is our last meeting in May. It's May 26th. We'll start again next week and for June if we have enough people. If we have, you know, at least one of you signed up. I thought we'd start by talking about Friday's Gemini new moon, because boy, it seemed like the energy really shifted to me. In fact, even my body's processes seemed to speed up and get moving again after all that time in Taurus land. Taurus is a fixed earth sign. And earth is very physical and form related, and fixed means stable and can often mean stuck. And Taurus is like the most stuck sign in the zodiac. And then the sun, you can see down here in the very bottom kind of left, that'll be the third house. The sun and the moon came together in Gemini just at 2 degrees. So the sun just moved into Gemini, I think, last Wednesday. So I don't know if you felt it, but I really felt the energy shift in Gemini. So whereas Taurus is fixed and earth, so it's a downward moving energy, it's a solid, stable, like I say, has a tendency to get stuck kind of energy. Gemini is almost exact opposite. It's mobile and quick and moving, and it's an air sign and it's mutable. So it's the transitional sign between spring and summer. That's the mutable. So that's what mutable signs are. But then Gemini is also the sign of the twins, and it's the sign of wanting to explore everything and curious and talkative and checking everything out and always in motion. And then the people, if you know people in your life that don't seem to be able to stop talking, they just talk, 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 they're curious about everything, their attention flits from one thing to another, they may very well have a lot of Gemini, because that's a very Gemini kind of trait. So that was a pretty dramatic shift just in the astro energies, if you will, last week. And then the new moon happened. Like I say, at 2 degrees, it was squaring Mars. Trying to see where Uranus is. Not really. It's the first new moon since last summer that didn't directly activate Uranus. So we didn't get as much of that Uranian kind of energy. And it was in more of a harmonious relationship with that crazy stellium, Saturn, Jupiter, and Pluto, that has been sort of directing world events all year. So that new moon, it has a little bit of a fresh start energy. The other thing, and I can't remember if I talked about this in the last session, but the other significant shift in the last couple of weeks has been the change of the nodes, the nodes of the moon. And the nodes are points in the sky where the moon's orbit around the earth intersects the sun's path across the sky, the ecliptic. And they're the points that determine where the eclipses are, because when the sun and the moon line up with the nodes of the moon, then that means that they're in line with the earth and everything's in the same plane, and that's when we get eclipses. And so when those nodes shift, it has a different sort of, it kind of shows evolutionary direction. And the south node acts as sort of like a karmic release point. And the north node acts like a evolutionary, like, path forward, if you will. And so the other thing that this new moon would have given us a feel for is what this new evolutionary path is. The nodes just shifted out of Cancer and Capricorn, which are cardinal signs, meaning that they're initiating. And the south node in Capricorn has been part of what's been like making all the craziness over the past year and a half, and definitely this last 6 months or so with the Saturn, Jupiter, Pluto grouping, because that South node, when it was in Capricorn, it was very much about breaking apart and releasing old structures. And I know we've talked about that before, but that's a lot of what we've been doing socially, as well as personally, releasing old reality structures, whether they're government institutions or kind of like the ways that we've organized our lives have been upended, and of course upended quite dramatically in the last few months. So that's where the nodes have been and what the sort of evolutionary stuff has been. And now the shift into Gemini and Sagittarius has a completely different feel, because these are in mutable signs. And again, mutable means adaptable and transitional. And so there's more, whereas there's been like a heavy direction forward on like making things change a lot, big changes. Now we're getting into this period where I would actually say for this next year and a half, we're in a, in fact, one of the themes we're going to talk about today is being in between and stuck in the middle a little bit because of where Saturn is. So here's Saturn up here at 1 degree of Aquarius, where it's been for weeks, and now it's heading back into Capricorn, where it has been for the last couple of years, since December of 2017. But back to the nodes for just a second, that in-between kind of energy means that there's just a lot of shifting and changing and adapting going on right now. And just as when I was talking about the new moon in Gemini being about curiosity and exploration, and it's about your immediate environment and your neighborhood, what's in your neighborhood and how do you interact with your neighborhood, that that curiosity and exploration and sort of there's even a feel in this Gemini energy of, for those of us that live in small towns, there's like this sense of there's a lot of different kinds of people, but we can embrace them all because they're all part of our neighborhood. I don't know that we get that as much in bigger cities, but in small towns especially, you know, there you've got all these eccentric characters and not everybody thinks the same way. And it's sort of okay because we're all part of a community, and that's part of the path forward with this Gemini energy, is learning how to be curious about other viewpoints and be curious and analyze and gather information and really explore, like on the small scale, not explore big picture, big meaning, but explore on the small scale. That's kind of the direction we're headed, is to be a little bit more open-minded, a little bit more curious. And then, whereas with the South Node in Capricorn, it was more about destruction of old structures, especially with Pluto there, now the South Node in Sagittarius has a lot to do with letting go. That's the South Node. South Node is always kind of a release point, letting go. And Sagittarius, the shadows of Sagittarius that we want to let go of are rigid ideologies. It's time to stop getting stuck in rigid, I'm right, you're wrong, judgment, all those kinds of places where we try to like create meaning and then make it apply to everybody else. So to me, this next year and a half is whereas we've been sort of like breaking down structures, now it's time to stop hanging on to certainty, right? There is no certainty, and it's time to stop hanging on to certainty and stop hanging on to my way, my belief system, the way I see the world is the only way. And then this Gemini new moon and Gemini north node says, ah, maybe it's time to start being curious about how other people see the world and allowing more space for that. It's a little bit of a speech, but that's kind of my sense of this new moon energy. So I want to talk for a moment too about the, it feels like I have way too much to talk about, which is a very Gemini thing. I want to talk a little bit about, a little bit more about this stuck in between kind of idea that I have. Can't remember if this works. Ah, didn't work. All right. So let me try again. On the share, I can never switch pages while I'm doing this. So part of the reason I stay stuck in between is, if you remember, the slide I had up a minute ago was the Gemini new moon, and we had the sun and the moon down here in Gemini, and the nodes were at the very beginning. The nodes move backwards, so they were at the very edge of Gemini and Sagittarius, very close to Cancer and Capricorn. And Saturn was at 1 degree of Aquarius. So here we are in June. Saturn's been at 1 degree, or in May. Saturn's been at 1 degree of Aquarius for about a month, maybe a little bit more. I'd have to look. And in that last, at the Gemini new moon, which was Friday, Jupiter was at about 27 degrees and Pluto is about 24 degrees. So you can see that these three big heavy-hitting planets have really barely moved by December. This is December 21st, the solstice. Here you can see the sun at 0 degrees of Capricorn. That's in tropical astrology. That's the definition of the solstice. That's how we fix the signs in tropical astrology, is that when the sun hits the solstice, that's 0 degrees of Capricorn. So when I say stuck in between, what I mean is that we've got Saturn in almost the exact same place. We have Pluto in almost the exact same place. And Jupiter has moved only 4 degrees in this time between May and December. And Jupiter has been on this other side of Saturn, inside that boundary, in fact, between Saturn and Pluto, for a good long time this whole year. And what happens on December 21st, and certainly as we keep going with this group, I'll be talking more about it, and every astrologer in the world will be talking more about this. What happens on the solstice of this year is that Jupiter finally gets that final check in with Saturn, and then it breaks free of Saturn. And this is also called this particular conjunction is called the Great Mutation, because it takes place in an air sign. And for the last 200 years, this Jupiter-Saturn conjunction, which happens every 20 years, has been happening in Earth signs. So until that happens, we're in this place where Saturn is back and forth. It's been in Capricorn for almost 2 years, well, a year and a half. Jupiter's been in Capricorn for like 6 months. I can't remember when it went in. Jupiter's only in a sign for about a year. Saturn's for a couple of years. And we can't seem to get out of this place of this heavy energy of Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto until December and this conjunction. And then Jupiter moves enough faster than Saturn that we won't have Jupiter and Saturn together for another 20 years, because Jupiter will take off and get far ahead of Saturn. Hopefully all this is making sense, because what it feels like to me is that this year, 2020, from the Saturn-Pluto conjunction in January, which was at 22 degrees of Capricorn, Saturn and Pluto, and Jupiter was back here in slightly earlier degrees of Capricorn, from that time until the end of the year, and even really starting last year in a sense, we've been in this like big cauldron of big energies. And so we will get out, I hope, next year. Don't know exactly what that's going to mean yet. Might take some time because we're at the beginning of all these big cycles. But at least until the end of the year, we're just back and forth and back and forth and kind of in this in-between place. That's the way I'm looking at it. So we're going to talk a little bit more about Saturn in a few minutes, but I thought we'd go ahead, since this is a writing group, not a talking group, we're going to go ahead and start with a short writing. Let's just start with 5 minutes today, and then we'll do a longer writing period. Sorry, can ignore the bell. Stop that. It is not my day for technology. It's a Gemini day. All right, so here are the writing prompts, and then I'll start the bell again. So for this, just 5 minutes, write about either, here's the two ways to get into it. Write about a time where you felt like everything was three steps forward and two steps back. Or just name some times in your life where everything felt like three steps forward and two steps back. Or alternatively, maybe name some kinds of experiences that go up and down or back and forth, like teeter-totters. So for 5 minutes, we'll just do a quick 5 minute writing exercise. And those are the two prompts, either write of a time, list some times where you felt like you were going three steps forward and two steps back, or name some experiences that go up and down and back and forth and round maybe. And if you're still writing, please feel free to do that. Otherwise, you can pause. So, okay. So I just want to. So we talked. I've talked. You haven't talked. I've been talking right and left. I've been talking about the kind of the current astrology and this in-between period, and we're going to continue a little bit with that theme, but I want to switch back to okay, that's not working. This is my day for technology. Let's see if I can try this again. All right, what I want to do is share a little bit of just an overview of Saturn, kind of to wrap up what we've been talking about. Let's see if I can make that a little bit smaller. Quite that small. Okay, so I want to just wrap up kind of the month and continue this in-between theme, partly because here we are with Saturn. As I said, Saturn's at 1 degree of Aquarius. Here's Aquarius, the two squiggly lines that I may have said this before, actually represent snakes of wisdom. Aquarius is the water bearer. That's the sign of Aquarius. And these are the two signs that Saturn rules. So it's going from its rulership in Capricorn, the sea goat, which is a cardinal, meaning initiating sort of an outward driving kind of energy, cardinal earth sign. And the 10th sign in the zodiac, the sign of like earth wisdom, you could call it. And then it's going back into Capricorn, where it's been for since December of 2017. All right, yep. And then it's been at the 1 degree mark of Aquarius for quite some time now. And Aquarius is an air sign and it's a fixed sign. And whereas Capricorn is considered feminine because it's an earth sign, earth signs are always feminine. Aquarius is a masculine sign. And what that means is that the feminine sign is more of an inward, internal, again, downward kind of energy, dark energy, whereas Aquarius is, as an air sign, much more social, much more intellectual. And whereas Capricorn is about that wisdom, the kind of wisdom that you get through your body, the kind of wisdom that you get by connecting with the earth and the plants and the material realm. When Capricorn gets into Aquarius, it's that wisdom, it's more of the quote-unquote higher wisdom, more of an air, like a sky god wisdom. And in fact, the co-ruler in modern astrology, the co-ruler of Aquarius is Uranus, who is named after Uranus, the sky god. And so we go from earth to sky, in a sense. And Capricorn, when we're moving forward, we go from earth to sky, but right now we've gone earth to sky and we're going back into earth for a little while with Saturn. And Saturn, as I said, rules both these signs, so that means it's at home in both these signs. So it's still Saturn, it's still cold and dry, still has a contracting kind of energy. But whereas we've been kind of moving forward into Aquarius and the sign of big vision, now we're going to go back again into this sign of earth wisdom. And so again, thinking about that in between, we're kind of back and forth right now between the, oh, we're going to finally get like a big vision of the future and where we're going after all this upheaval and change. And then, no, we're not quite ready for that. We have to come back and get grounded a little bit more. With Saturn and Capricorn, and that'll happen. I think Saturn gets back into Capricorn, might be even next month, and then it'll be there until December when it moves back into Aquarius for that conjunction with Jupiter, and that's the stuff we've been talking about. So just a couple of more reminders about Saturn is that mature wisdom. And we talked about Saturn returns. You get your first one at around age 29, and then your second one at around age 58, and then your third one at about age 87 or so. And so the Saturn returns kind of mark that maiden, mother, crone demarcation of our lives, the three phases of our lives. And I know we did talk about that, if not the last session, then the session before. So with that in mind, you know, kind of a little bit more explanation of this back and forth energy, this being in between that time of grounded, like almost material wisdom, and then the big vision, very future oriented, whereas Capricorn has more of a, it's like the seven generations. It's not all looking back. There is a lot of a sense of history in Capricorn and carrying the past, and it's about tradition, but it's also about long-term thinking. But then Aquarius is much about the vision, the big vision, the future vision. So where we are is we're stuck a little bit between tradition and future. And what are we going to carry forward into that future? So I don't know if you, well, I'll tell you what. I'll set the timer for an hour, which would take us to 5:15 in Mountain Time and 7:15 in Eastern Time. I'll set the timer for an hour. And then if you get finished early, you're welcome to come back early. I notice both of you tend to come back a few minutes before we're done, and that's fine because I'm usually about ready to be done at that point too. But I'll set it for an hour in case you want to write for the full hour, and then we'll just plan to go till at least till a good 5:30, you know, and 7:30 with our kind of wrap up at the end. So here are the prompts. Here are the prompts. So one is to, you can sort of take the, what you were talking about or what you were writing about in the short time with that in between, that being stuck in between or being in the middle theme, and continue that, maybe write of a time in your life when you were in between, you know, maybe even at the first Saturn return where you're sort of in between that young, not so much responsibility, and then the fully mature adult. A lot of us at that first Saturn return don't feel like full adults yet, even though that's what we're stepping into. So that's one prompt, right, of a time when you or your character were in between two phases, two places. And then the other idea I had for a prompt is one of my favorite things to do. It'll probably come back up again in a different kind of context at some point in the future, is imagine yourself, spend a couple of moments to just really imagine yourself as the crone, as your mature, you know, third phase of life, third Saturn cycle of life, you know, 60s, 70s, 80s. Imagine yourself as that crone, the wise elder. Remember that Saturn is the elder. And then write a letter to yourself of today. Write words of wisdom and guidance and compassion from your crone self to yourself today. So those are the two ways to get into this writing session, is continue that theme of writing of a time when you were in between, or write a letter from your crone self to today's self of words of wisdom, guidance, and compassion. So if you have questions, feel free to pop in now. I'm going to go ahead.